Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher, current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about on this podcast. I share ideas and strategies, sometimes practical resources. I interview experts. I tell stories about what worked and what didn't work, all because I believe the teachers play a profound role in helping students reach their creative potential. And in particular, it's this idea of empowering students with voice and choice. And it's this overlap between student-centered learning, which is the main focus of this podcast, in a changing world. And so a lot lately has been about this topic of what does all this look like, this creative classroom in a world largely shaped by algorithms, right? In a world of AI. And I am working right now on my revisions and sort of the final pieces of my final draft, essentially, of the AI roadmap. And that'll be coming out at some point in the near future. And it really is this idea of what does it mean to do human learning in a world of smart machines? And so today we're going to be talking about one idea in particular. What are the changes going to be in assessment given the reality of AI? And I'm going to be sharing with you five different trends that we might see with AI and assessment. When I do workshops on student-centered assessment practices, or when I teach the assessment design course as a professor at the university where I work, I've noticed that people tend to hold really strong emotions about assessment. As educators, all of our assessment practices come from a set of values and beliefs that we hold. Do we give extra credit? If so, are we valuing accuracy or effort? Do we take points off for late work? If so, is this about measuring the mastery of the learning or teaching students how to stick to deadlines and work hard? Do we grade for effort or grade based upon a set criteria? Do we give group grades on projects, or is that unfair to individuals who did all the work? Should we use weighted categories? Should students get the opportunity to resubmit work or retake tests? Does that help them gain perseverance, or does it just lead to laziness? For the last decade, I have watched teachers engage in heated debates over these issues, and I understand why. These assessment practices are rooted in our values about fairness and justice. They connect to what we believe about teaching and learning and why we are in the classroom in the first place. Tell me to try a new discussion protocol with small groups. I'm down for that. Tell me to eliminate zeros from the gradebook. Oof, I'm going to have some strong feelings about it. And at a basic level, what we can agree on is the purpose of assessment. In general, there's kind of three elements to think about for why assessment exists. First, assessment helps teachers know how individual students are doing. Second, assessment helps teachers know how the class as a whole is doing. And then assessment helps students themselves know their mastery level. And all of this helps teachers figure out who do you pull for small groups, who needs intervention, and for students, it helps them know, you know, what do I know, what do I not know, and what am I going to do next? So in general, we could say when I'm talking about assessment, when we're thinking about assessment, that's sort of the stuff that we should all be able to agree on. The nitty-gritty details, those other pieces of assessment policy, well, those are going to be contentious, and that's just a reality. So I want to share the five trends of, in a world of AI, what will assessment look like in K-12 classrooms? Trend number one, I think you're going to see less grading and more assessment. That doesn't mean fewer grades, by the way. It's just less grading. You're going to spend less time grading. So when I interviewed Mark Schneider. I don't know if you caught that podcast episode. He's sort of a big data guru. I loved hearing his insights from a policy side and from a tech side. But he described how AI will be used in the future for something like speech therapy. Currently, speech pathologists spend hours doing the initial intake tasks. And the work can be tedious, it can be time-consuming, and it takes them away from actually working with students. But with the combination of generative AI and voice recognition, we will eventually have AI assessment tools that can run the speech test and provide the initial data that the pathologist needs. The data can also go beyond a simple score and actually provide some insights into what type of speech therapy the student might need. So there's this predictive analysis component going on. And speech pathologists can then engage in ongoing assessment in a way that's a lot more relational and dynamic. Now, imagine a similar technology in a regular K-12 classroom, and let's imagine it at an early elementary level with something like reading fluency. Currently, early elementary teachers spend hours doing reading fluency tests on this one-on-one level. Sometimes they'll bring in a reading specialist, sometimes an aide will test them, but it can get boring at times. And that's when human error begins to slip through. Fortunately, AI doesn't get tired. So instead, we might start seeing speech recognition technology used within AI for a reading fluency test. Students will take the test on a computer or a smart device. They'll get an immediate score, and then they can see how it compares to their reading goals. This frees teachers up to engage in student-teacher conferences where they'll talk about that data, and small groups where they're going to be able to pull more small groups more frequently. They'll also be able to adjust their small groups more readily because, again, the data is more frequent. And I want to point out here that the AI is not replacing teachers in the assessment process. It's just that when we outsource areas that are more human, more prone to human error, and we focus on the relational elements, we end up with this very human side of assessment. And we don't have to do as much of the sort of tedious work of testing and grading. Trend number two is faster feedback. When I was a kid, I loved playing baseball. I spent hours hitting a ball off of a tee, and my twin brother and I would often do soft toss in the backyard. I probably averaged, 40 plus hours per week in the summer, and that was just practicing the game of baseball. You'd think I would have been a stellar hitter. I mean, you would think I would have been the cleanup guy. That's the number four hitter, by the way, if you don't follow baseball. But practice makes perfect. That's the idea, right? But actually, I was an awful, awful hitter. I couldn't see the ball well. And when I hit it, I often fouled it away. Then in the rare occasion that my coach corrected my swing, I found it nearly impossible to correct it. So what was going on? I struggled from a lack of feedback, and I had spent hours committing to a poor swing. And what happened is that poor swing became an element of my muscle memory. And it became nearly impossible to unlearn my bad swing. So all of those bad habits had become internalized. Now, for decades, we've known that it's vital for students to get immediate feedback. When learning a skill, a lag in feedback can mean students practice things incorrectly. And it's not all that different from the baseball swing that I just described. When learning a concept, a lag in feedback can mean a misconception lasts for weeks and leads to multiple misconceptions. For some students, a delay in feedback leads to a loss in motivation. With AI, we have this ability to provide faster feedback. A teacher might run an essay through an AI assessment tool and provide a set of suggestions that the student then uses. A teacher might use the AI tool with a math problem to get a quick diagnosis of what mistakes might be occurring with computational fluency or mathematical reasoning. And with AI, we will see faster feedback that can lead to more timely corrections. Now, while we can generally embrace this trend, I mean, most of us would agree this is a good thing, I do think we need to be a little bit worried about the lack of struggle. If we're identifying mistakes and providing instant feedback, my concern is that we might accidentally quash productive struggle, and this could lead to learned helplessness. So as a diagnostic tool, AI has the potential to help us identify mistakes that we don't see and provide targeted feedback quickly. But it might also move a step further, right? So we've gone from this first idea of, you know, less grading, more assessment, and it's doing a lot of the testing for us. It's also giving faster feedback, but we're also going to see trend number three, which is predictive analysis. Machine learning tends to excel in finding patterns and using those patterns for predictive analysis. So this could be adaptive learning, creating things at different levels for students. It could be early identification of at-risk students. It could be adaptive assessment. So you're sort of creating differentiated assessments that are leveled for, you know, where students are at. And then as they get things right or wrong, there are new questions that pop up. And then also predictive modeling. AI algorithms can use data on past student performance to develop predictive models that identify factors that will lead to their success or their failure. This can help teachers and administrators make sort of data-driven decisions that would improve student outcomes. I have a real mixed feeling about this trend. I think it's coming, but it worries me. For example, if we use AI to identify so-called at-risk students, are we creating a self-fulfilling prophecy? Are we taking an approach that is using a deficit mindset? I mean, to be honest, there is this slightly Black Mirror aspect to this. It feels like you're using big data and AI to predict where students are going. And I have a real problem with that sort of use of data in that way. And so there's a strong knee-jerk reaction that I have where I say, let's not use assessment data to predict who's going to fail ahead of time. And yet, there is another side of me that feels a little more hopeful here. If AI can look at past math performance, for example, we might be able to predict upcoming struggles and actually move toward compacting, where students skip the standards that they've already mastered and spend more time on the areas where they have struggled or will likely to struggle in the upcoming future. So, again, I feel really mixed about that trend. Trend number four is more differentiation within assessments. Differentiation takes time. There's no way around it. Even when we empower our students to self-select scaffolds, it takes time to design those scaffolds. With AI, differentiation is now faster and easier than ever. We might see a trend toward more differentiated instruction, and that will then lead to more differentiated assessment. It might look like the adaptive learning programs where students end up, you know, getting leveled readers and moving from task to task based on their current mastery level. And the AI will just move the level of the assessment based on a student's current skill level. But it might also be something where teachers take an initial common assessment that they have and they create multiple variations of that assessment and then give students choice in which assessment they want to take. It might be that they're able to take an assessment, a rubric, an essay, something, and use the AI to design scaffolds and supports for that assessment. So it might be for ELL students, simplifying the verb tense, providing a glossary of the vocabulary, generating sentence stems. It might be something that would connect to IEP goals for specific students who are exceptional learners. But the idea is, in general, I think that you're going to see a trend toward more differentiation within assessments. And then trend number five is, there really is the possibility of empowering students to own the assessment process. And what I think this is going to look like is using chatbots and AI in general for things like goal setting, resource recommendations, using it as a time management tool, using it in a conversational way to facilitate reflection. Sometimes just using it as an extra pair of eyes to say, you know, hey, what's missing? Or maybe using it to get personalized feedback where students say, what am I doing right? What am I doing wrong? How can you help me? You're also going to definitely see it used for performance feedback. If we think about the use of audio and video combined with generative AI, you're going to see PE teachers using it in weight training to figure out if a student's form is correct and to use that to prevent injuries. You're going to see it used in elementary music to get feedback on, you know, where a student is getting it right or wrong when they play an instrument. What that means is, you know, for an elementary ed music teacher, they might not have to listen to, you know, 6 hours a day of Hot Cross Buns being played on the recorder, which I am amazed that they can do that. But the idea is basically any kind of performance. So it could be performance assessments on speeches that students give. It could be performance assessments on the art that they're doing. There's a lot of ability to, you know, in a theater class, to give feedback to students on how they are actually performing in audio and video. And I think that's going to be a really powerful tool where students can go to the AI and say things like, how did I deal with blank? Where am I missing blank? And it'll give that targeted feedback that we want them to find. Now, I think it's important at this point to recognize that we need to clarify ourselves what values will drive the assessment practices. Earlier, I mentioned how assessment practices are values-driven with significant variance and disagreements among educators. As we think about how we're going to use AI in our assessment practices, we do need to recognize the role of these values and beliefs. Machine learning does not and will not occur in a vacuum. Values, beliefs, policies, these are going to shape the way engineers design and then the way educators implement these AI systems. As a teacher, a leader, a coach, it can help to look at AI and say, what are the values driving this assessment design? I mention this because some of the AI assessment tools seem to be driven by a strongly behaviorist perspective of learning, with an emphasis on things like surveillance and accountability. Think plagiarism detectors or facial recognition systems. And that is a little bit concerning to me. Others are quasi-behaviorist with elements of gamification. So they're going to use a somewhat behaviorist perspective with things like badges and levels and gamification. And I personally enjoy that. I have used badges in the past, and I think it brings in a fun element, but it works. It is, again, quasi-behavioristic. Some treat knowledge as something obtained, retained, and explained, but others are going to see it as something internally constructed. Some assessments are going to be more diagnostic, others more descriptive, sort of having another set of eyes giving feedback. Others are going to be more evaluative. My fear is that we're going to see AI assessment tools chosen largely by convenience and cost rather than pedagogical soundness or core values. I worry that we will see tools gain popularity due to clever marketing and cute design. As districts purchase these tools in a top-down fashion, some educational leaders are going to push for compliance to use them. And the concern is, we bought this tool, we better use this tool. Instead of providing a tool and trusting teachers to decide when and how to use it, we might end up with policies that essentially outsource most of the assessment processes to a machine in a way that conflicts with a teacher's core beliefs and sort of dehumanizes the assessment process. But if we can empower teachers to use the AI tools wisely, we will end up with a more human-driven approach. And I think that's critical to recognize and remember this human role in assessment. And I want to end this podcast with a quick story about the human element. I was showing my middle son, Micah, how well ChatGPT does with analyzing writing and giving feedback. And I explained that it could do feedback almost instantaneously in a way that I, as a teacher, cannot. I gave an example of one of my blog posts. It was a personal narrative about the lessons that our greyhound, Jasmine, taught me. And it was a deeply personal blog post. I think I did a podcast to go with it. And that just happened to be the one that I chose. Micah's response to me was, "That's horrible feedback. What do you mean? It's practical and actionable. It includes more positive than negatives. Everything about it is true," I pointed out. My son said, "If a teacher did that, it would be heartless. If someone writes about their pet dying and the only response is, 'I'm so sorry. Want to talk about it?' That's it. That's all a teacher should say right there." He went on to say, "Feedback is fine. I know that we need it and all, but my favorite English teachers give me feedback in a way that makes me feel known. The feedback makes me want to write. It's critical, yeah, but it's critical in a way where I think my teacher gets me." Does that make sense? It does make sense. What my son is alluding to is the fact that feedback isn't mechanical. It's relational. It's dynamic. It's contextual. It's even at times empathetic. I still think there's some potential promise in AI as a feedback tool, but I don't ever want it to replace the relational aspect of assessment. At the most human level, assessment is a conversation. Sometimes it's an internal dialogue we do in isolation. Sometimes it's a conversation with trusted peers. Often it's a conversation between a student and a teacher. But these conversations, they're not always just about word choice or style or argumentation. They're not always about linear equations or how to find X. Sometimes they're about hopes and dreams and grief and loss. And I never want to lose those conversations. AI can be great as a tool for feedback. But we need that human element. The algorithm can give me feedback on my voice and choice and style. It can help me tighten up my writing and avoid unnecessary phrases. But it can't tell me what it's like for a person to read what I wrote. For me, I need a human on the other hand who says, "John, that piece moved me." That's the kind of feedback that makes me want to write more. Where I'm most hopeful in the end is that teachers will spend more time giving the human-oriented feedback while the AI provides some of the instant feedback as a diagnostic tool. But I never want to lose that human element. And I think we need to be very careful of anything that promises to outsource all assessment to a machine. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever it is that you get your podcast? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.